Hey, Drew.
Yes, John.
Twitter's down.
Good.
What do we do?
Please, Lord.
Celebrate.
Oh, my gosh. The trolls on, what are the trolls on Twitter going to do? They're just going to scream into the void.
They might have to actually get a life.
Oh. Wait. How will listeners pick the winner for the news quiz, though?
Oh, that's a good question. JD.
It's okay. They were going to pick me anyway.
JD at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com is the email address.
Oh, if you I may have spoken too soon. I might be back now.
Who's going to win the Friday news quiz? Joining us now as we head into the third and final hour of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, our adopted senator from Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Good morning, sir.
Covering what happened yesterday, 13 U.S. service members died in Afghanistan, deadliest day of conflict since 2011, most loss of life in that area in over a decade. We're hearing some 90 Afghans died in those dual bombings that took place. A lot of concern in these closing days, if you will, of this evacuation, if we stick to the timeline. We had Representative Tom Tiffany on earlier this morning, Senator Ron Johnson. I'll do kind of the same thing we did with him. Like to just hand it over to you and ask you where your head is at this morning. What aspect of what has unfolded would you most like to address and talk about?
Well, it's obviously a real tragedy. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all the victims, their family. This it's just such a horrible loss. Afghanistan's a dangerous place. Sounds like this was an ISIS suicide bomber. You have ISIS battling the Taliban in Afghanistan. It's going to be a failed state one more time. I'm not sure it was ever a successful state, but at least it was a more stable one. I personally was never in favor of a total pullout out of Afghanistan. I thought that because our NATO partners had been there by our side and would provide even more troops than what we were willing to have in there, we could have maintained a contingent of special operation forces together with our NATO allies to provide support for the Afghanistan security forces that have been doing the vast majority of the fighting and the dying for their nation. I've been to Afghanistan. I've talked to new recruits. I've, with an interpreter, I've asked people, why are you doing this? And I think probably the most poignant one that I remember was just one of the young men said, well, for our nation, we want peace. And, I don't ever want to forget the gains that were made, the sacrifice that the finest among us made. Jason Church, I worked in my Senate office. I met him at Walter Reed Hospital. He lost both legs on Afghanistan. This is incredibly painful for the people that served and sacrificed over in Afghanistan because they saw the benefits of U.S. involvement. We saw the liberation of women, girls. That will all be lost. So the travesty, the tragedy here certainly starts with women in Afghanistan. What progress had been made in Afghanistan is all going to be dialed back. It's all lost. 20 years, hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars, the lost life, the lost limbs, the injuries. It's just a tragedy. And then you throw on top of that 13 American lives, more wounded. And when you take a look at the incompetence of this botched withdrawal, it didn't have to be like this.
Yeah.
Again, you can't prevent suicide bombers. I mean, there still could have been loss of life, but it could have been far more orderly. It should have been far more orderly. The fact that President Biden gets up there, we plan for every contingency. I was just at Fort McCoy. I asked the commanding general, when's the first time you heard you're going to have this mission of taking in the Afghanistan refugees? He said 10 days ago. 10 days ago. I mean, Biden made his decision and announced withdrawal months ago. Again, the long-term repercussions, what this signals to not only our adversaries, but to our allies, our friends. I mean, our NATO partners are just beside themselves. The lack of consultation that they didn't want to leave. They also served and sacrificed. They had the finest among them give their lives on this project. Okay, now you can argue we past special operations retaliation for 9/11. We maybe never should put any further boots on the ground. Learn from history that Afghanistan is an ungovernable, tribal culture. You can argue that, and I think that's probably true. But we did go in there, mm-hmm. and we did sacrifice, and we did make gains. I don't want anybody who served to lose the perspective of the phenomenal good that America and our allies try to do in the world. We sacrificed our sons and daughters for other people's freedom. And as Colin Powell famously said, we don't do that. We don't send our finest among us to sacrifice to try and conquer land. The only land we ever ask for is enough to bury our dead. That's what the West does. That is noble. And this a noble attempt should not end this way.
I want to hone in on one comment you made, and that's regarding the incompetence that has seemed to be the hallmark of this evacuation. Having served in the Senate and having been involved in Homeland Security committees and things like that, could you shed a little light, a little perspective for our audience as to, just from your experience and your perspective of how, these sort of plans come together and how did this happen? How did this withdrawal get botched so badly? We know that they got warnings that the Taliban could sweep in quickly. We know that the idea that nobody could have foreseen this was a complete lie, because we've seen, the cables have been leaked now. We've seen reports about some of the intelligence briefings that were ignored by the Biden administration. So with supposedly all these great minds working together to pull this mission off, how did it get botched so badly from your perspective or from your opinion?
It got botched from the top. This is a failure of leadership. It always is. Listen, I'm not a fan of the federal government. One of the attacks I'm enduring from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is all these things I'm exposing have a common theme that I'm reducing confidence in government. Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Government is it's not particularly helpful in many cases. It doesn't solve problems. But it's not because there aren't a lot of good people in the agencies trying to do a good job with good intentions. The problem is from the top. The problem is from government doing things that it never should have even tried to do that it can't do. So in this case, in particular, this is incompetence from the President of the United States and his top advisors who think, I guess they're geniuses, but as President Obama's Defense Secretary Robert Gates said about Joe Biden, he's been wrong on virtually every major foreign policy decision in the last 40 years, his string continues. So you get people, they are arrogant. They think they know everything. They ignore the advice of the people on the ground that actually have the knowledge that could have, I'm sure were warning them. But they know better. They know better than everybody. And so they make the decisions. They issue the commands. And it's their fault. I mean, the bottom line is this is President Biden's fault. He is the root cause. He's the root cause of the unsecured border. He dismantled the successful policies that had stopped the flow of unaccompanied children and family units. For the last 4 or 5 months, we've had over 6,000 people per day being apprehended on the southern border. Mm-hmm. At a minimum, we'll probably allow in about 600,000 people. That's a population larger than the state of Wyoming. And that's why we are returning 80 to 90% of people under Title 42, the COVID restrictions issued by the CDC. What happens if they drop Title 42? And again, this is just part and parcel of the administration of disasters. Is what the Biden administration is. So this is from the top. This is the fault of the men and women that this serve and sacrifice. This is a failure of leadership. And I hope America is watching what happens. And this isn't just President Biden. This is Democratic leadership.
Correct.
Their ideas don't work. This deficit spending that is out of control is sparking inflation. Their ideas, their socialism doesn't work. As Mark Levin writes in his book, we must awaken to the urgency of this moment. This is a hinge point in American history. We need to make sure that we defeat Democrats in 2022. This can't continue.
Let me follow that up then with my next question. What does accountability look like? And I think that's something that's on a lot of Americans' mind right now. We talked to Representative Tom Tiffany earlier in the program, and we all acknowledge that, with a Democratic House and the Senate, the makeup of the Senate being what it is, the opportunity for congressional oversight really feels like it's incredibly limited right now. And I have no expectations whatsoever that there will be any substantive action from Nancy Pelosi and the House regarding oversight and accountability, the role Congress is supposed to play. What can you offer? What kind of hope can you offer to the listeners right now who are desperately wanting to see people held accountable for this incompetent mission that has cost American lives?
Well, the best accountability is to sweep Democrats out of office in 2022. That is the form of accountability in democracy. You get rid of the party in power that has botched it so terribly. Now, but the first line of accountability always is exposure. I know a lot of people, you send them to jail. Like, listen, in the political realm, the first and I think the most effective form of accountability is to expose what has happened. And it's kind of hard not to see what has happened here. It's hard not to understand what the results are. We may not know all the fine details. We may not know everybody who made the decisions, who gave the bad advice. But again, the buck stops with President Biden and his top advisors. And quite honestly, the members of Congress of his party that are supporting his and propping him up and apologizing for him and covering for him. And members of the media, by the way.
Yeah, the media has been the media has had an absolute dereliction of duty, in my opinion. Before we let you go, I want to ask you one more question, and this ties in with a call I see on hold here. A lot of conversation on this program and elsewhere about the military base in Bagram, the air base. Do you have any thoughts, any perspective, any opinions on why that wasn't utilized more aggressively, more efficiently in order to assist with these evacuations? It seems like that would have been a much better option than the Kabul airport.
It would have been. I mean, again, sheer incompetence.
Yeah.
Really, really, whoever made that decision, it was a really stupid decision. No, it would have been more defensible. The other thing that you have to be concerned about, in addition to the loss of life, which is the biggest problem, but what about all the equipment that's now fallen in the hands of the Taliban?
Yeah. We highlighted that yesterday.
Our technology. No, this again. There aren't enough words to describe the unmitigated disaster that this Afghanistan withdrawal is and will be.
Well, Senator Ron Johnson, thank you for the time this morning. Really do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Have a good day.
Take care.
Again, we're still in the middle of it, and I don't think that the country has yet come to grips with, because it's still all happening, the sort of the magnitude of what happened just yesterday and sort of expectation of what can happen moving forward. And to his comment of accountability, I don't think we can wait that long. I heard somebody make a comment yesterday on the news, and it was spot on. And I, regardless of what party you belong to and who you voted for, the vast majority of people, when the country is dealing with hardship and controversy, right, and instability, and an event like took place yesterday, regardless of how you align, you look to the president and you want to hear what they're going to say, because you want that comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you didn't vote for that person, you want to be able to look to the leader of the nation and go, all right, I may not agree with you, but you're doing something about this, right? After yesterday and Biden, we started the show off this morning. I'll say it again. I would, at this point, relatively speaking, gladly welcome Kamala Harris as the president, just because she still has a political future in front of her. So she still has something to lose. She's coherent. She has her wits about her. I was very interested when Biden took the stage yesterday after knowing that he was apparently in the Situation Room, that he had been busy all day long, waited all that time. What kind of shape is he going to be in? And he showed what kind of shape he was in. Yeah. He was in horrible shape. He was a shell of a human being that couldn't even speak at a normal pace of an average individual. And that was he was basically just sitting around taking in information. You couldn't for 8 hours take in information and come out with any sort of level of energy whatsoever. Like I said early in the show, if he spoke like a normal individual at normal speed, that address would have been 45 seconds long, for crying out loud. You sit there, what is he gonna say? When are people going to wake up and start focusing on the fact that our leader is an empty shell of a man at the helm of this country right now?
I don't know. I mean, you're starting to see little cracks in the media veneer a little bit. I mean, when the New York Times is putting out pieces that are cutting down a Democratic president, you know, the ground is shifting at least a little bit. Hopefully it holds. We got to take a quick break. 651-989-5855. We'll be right back.
9 to 11. Hear the truth when it really matters. On Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. And on iHeartRadio with your smart speaker.
All right, you got one more segment. Get your picks in for the Friday News Quiz. Welcome back to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. Twitter appears to be down. At least we're not able to access Twitter here in the studio.
No, everybody. Well, there's a lot down. I think there's a lot of internet issues going on across the board because I'm not getting Gmail either. Or, you know, Dorsey just decided, you know, we're going to ban everybody but the Taliban.
it's the Taliban's Twitter now.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's Tala Twitter.
Hopefully this isn't the start of a cyber attack.
Yeah, well, that I know. Well, that's what
we'll like all of our tweets.
Yeah,
we were actually just kind of talking about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put anything past anybody right now. Welcome back to Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, and I want to clarify something real quick. I made a comment earlier. Look, I don't have any faith or trust whatsoever in Kamala Harris and her ability to run the country at all. My comment about I would gladly welcome her now is that I have even less faith in Joe Biden. I at least want the person at the helm of the greatest country on the face of the planet to, one, have some stake, you know, have some future, political future at stake, and two, at least has a functioning cognitive brain.
Right. It says a lot. If anybody's listened to the show for any period of time, you know, John and I both conservative, both lean right. But it says a lot when I believe and John believes that Kamala Harris would be an improvement over the situation we have now. And that's all we're saying. It's Kamala Harris would be better than Joe Biden right now, I think.
All it takes for an improvement,
she's awful.
All it takes for an improvement over Joe Biden is literally anybody who can sit down and doesn't need their pills ground up into pudding. That's literally what it takes.
Right. Right? I take the dog that Cuomo left in his mansion.
There you go. President Dog. I'm on board.
I'm also on board for President Dog.
Well, I was, for what it's worth, and I don't know if there's any validity to it, but I was reading a comment, and the person was saying that they have sources, and it was a blue check mark, they have sources in the intelligence community who said that Biden was getting pushback on this firm withdrawal date, and we couldn't do that, and we couldn't let the Taliban push back, and he was adamant that we didn't do that. And the difference that I see, if you had a Kamala Harris, is that at least Kamala Harris has the brain capacity and is young enough and still has a future ahead of her where Biden doesn't, right? That at least she could sit back and go, well, okay, from a personal standpoint, from a selfish standpoint, if this goes wrong, how is it going to affect me? And maybe her decision making would be different, even if it was selfish. Biden doesn't have to worry. He's the most dangerous president we have ever had, in my opinion, right? At least during my lifetime. The guy has nothing to lose at all. Polling numbers, disaster, deaths of military, death of Afghans, death of U.S. civilians, none of it is going to have any bearing on his future because he is at the end of his future right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. He does not have.
Yeah, it's not saying much left. When you're saying that someone is better than someone who is clearly in full cognitive decline.
Yeah.
That's not a high bar.
No, this is it. He is at the end of his life. This is his last gig.
Yep. Go to the phone, 651-989-5855. Kelly in St. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I really hate to talk this morning. I've been listening to everybody's and covering every point, but right now we need to get these people out of Afghanistan. And the only sure. way I can see is we're going to have to retake that air base.
No.
Listen out. We're going to lose lives. Yeah. We're going to spill blood. But there's two runways there. One plane in, one plane out. We can destroy equipment that's been left behind. It's 45 miles out of Baghdad. We can secure the zone. You don't have millions of people surrounding an airport that are going to be civilian casualties. And we'll know who the enemy is as they're coming towards us instead of being in a population that everybody looks the same.
Kelly, I completely agree. What my understanding, and I listened to a lot of this yesterday, pretty much all day long. Look, my understanding of the situation in Afghanistan right now, and specifically when it comes to Bagram Airport, is that, one, the reason why Biden was firm on that 31st date was because of what happened yesterday. Because they've known and they've had chatter that these attacks were going to start. And there was going to be very little that we could do to stop them. So it was really almost just a matter of time. Because we basically made our bed and lie and have to lie in it. Mm-hmm. The problem that we have with Bagram, and I don't think we're being told completely the situation on the ground in Afghanistan.
I am certain we're not.
And from what some of the experts were saying yesterday, there's a lot of assumptions going around in that we really can't take Bagram now. Is that if we moved in on Bagram, so would the Al-Qaeda and the ISIS in the region who are waiting and expecting us to go and do that, in which case we would get involved in a firefight on the ground in an attempt to retake that base. Now, granted, I think it's worth it. I believe we should. But clearly, this administration does not want to escalate anything beyond the situation that we're currently in right now.
Never should have let it go in the first place.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Now that we have, again, we've made our bed and we're lying in it. Brad in Prior Lake, good morning. Go ahead. Brad?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, guys. I just think that voters and citizens of this country have to be brutally honest with themselves and ask them a couple questions. We've got a president that everybody knows has accepted bribes from China.
Mm-hmm.
We got a vice president whose principal qualifications are skin color and gender. She has no support in the Democratic Party during the primaries. And all this is filtered down to state and local governments. Why would you leave a state legislator in place who exposes himself to children, a governor who let a city burn? And we've got media incapable of asking difficult questions. And it shouldn't depend on whether they're a Democrat or a Republican. We've got a lot of work to do as a country. And voters, I think, have to ask themselves, can we do better than this? I think we all deserve better.
Yeah.
We can't even enforce public safety, whether nationally or locally. And yeah. I think we got a lot of work to do, and voters need to ask themselves what they want as a country moving forward.
Thanks, Brad. That's a great call. Let's go to Paul in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, we need I agree 100% with Brad. But we need everyone to email all your senators and call and ask for impeachment. Their policies are destroying America, and it's so obvious that everyone's got to start emailing and calling their senators and demand the impeachment.
Impeachment, some degree of accountability. I mean, you know, Nancy Pelosi's never going to let impeachment even see them. You know, take a breath of fresh air. She'll smother that with a pillow.
No, I have a very strong feeling Pelosi's holding at least one of the puppet strings on Biden.
Oh, did you see her yesterday in the middle of when they were making the announcements of our Marines that had been killed? She's up there cracking jokes in San Francisco at some women's rights deal. I mean, like right in the middle of when the Pentagon was coming out and was letting us know of the continued deaths that we'd incurred, right, after that terror attack and the loss of our military. She's up there making jokes. And you can't tell me she didn't know. You can't tell me she wasn't made aware of what was taking place. She didn't know, but it doesn't matter to her. She doesn't care.
Mary in Lino Lakes. Good morning. Go ahead. Mary, you with us?
Hello, Mary.
All right. Try again, Mary. Let's go to Jessica in Stillwater. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi. I'm just wondering what kind of information the Taliban has on Biden and from who for Biden to act so brazen about what's going on.
I don't think they need any. I don't think they need to have any information on him. I think Biden made his choice, and thank you for the phone call, Jessica. He made his choice. He wasn't going to back down. This was his decision to make. And again, he has nothing to lose. It doesn't matter to him. He doesn't care if his approval. They can go down to 10. He could have a 10 approval. Mm-hmm. Or, 10%. It don't matter to Biden.
I don't think it does.
He doesn't. Why does he have to care? And I don't think he's half aware of what in the Sam Hill's going on right now.
I mean, I think hopefully the only silver lining to it all is that this Biden-Harris administration is going to take down a lot of Democrats with it in the 2022 midterms, and hopefully we can get some competent people. Like, all I want is competent. Like, I'll take Democrats if they're competent. I just want competent right now. I don't feel like I'm asking for too much.
I want politicians who will actually think about people, not the party.
Right.
How hard is that to get?
Yeah. Put optics to the side.
Exactly.
Every once in a while, at least. All right. 651-989-5855. Still a few people on hold. We'll try to squeeze in as many calls as we can, but it is time to play the Friday News Quiz. Email your predictions in if you haven't yet, because we can't access Twitter in the studio at the moment. So JD at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com for your predictions. Josh Hassing, Jeff O'Brien, or Sam Sansevier will find out who wins next. All right, final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. And while it hasn't been the most fun Friday show we've ever done, obviously the news of the day is a bit tragic. Let's have a little fun here in the final segment. We'll play the Friday News Quiz. We've got two rounds in the Friday News Quiz this week. My parody guy's on vacation.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That's my favorite part.
Well, sorry.
Well, what if we just play Kiss the Tip again?
Okay, I'll just do that. I thought about...
Throw Jenny from the Block in there, too.
I thought about calling on the talents of my co-host, John Justice, here, but, we strain his voice enough with all the songs that we make him produce.
It's true.
I didn't want to throw anything else on his plate, and I didn't want to sing the parody songs this week, because I've done that before, and if you think what's happening in Kabul is a travesty, you should hear me sing a parody song. It's far worse.
You made Sam do it.
They don't pay me enough for that.
So we have an audio round. I've got 9 audio clips, 3 for each of you. We have the headline round. We got 12 headlines with blanks in them. You fill them out and you will get points. And the audio round will play a clip for each of you. You got a few seconds to tell us who's talking in any relevant context, and we will award points accordingly. If you don't know the answer, other players can buzz in with their name to try to steal your points. I've been instructed to call upon Sam first. So we will start with audio clip number 1. Sam!
What?
Who's this?
Again, we expect there could be some, but I'm not going to get into it further.
That's Jen Psaki. Talking about terrorist attacks.
Anyone want to jump in with a steal? Josh. What she's talking about, Josh?
I beat you up talking if you steal about- my point. Just kidding.
Wow.
Sorry.
Okay, she is talking about the bombing at the airport in Afghanistan.
Oh, no.
She's talking about there could be some Americans left behind.
It's the same thing.
Jeff O'Brien with swooping in.
It's going to be a lot of Americans left behind. All right, Josh, we go to you for audio clip number 2.
I was a big supporter of her for many years, and then I just started to see things and hear things that were concerning.
I don't know who's talking, but is she talking about Jennifer Carnahan?
She is. So you will get a point for that if you want to swoop in. Whose voice is that?
Sounds like Amy Koch.
Does sound correct.
Why are you looking at me?
She's like family. I thought you'd know that one for sure.
Sorry, Amy.
All right, Jeff O'Brien, audio clip number 3.
If you want to have Christmas toys for your children, it might now... It might be the time to start buying them because the delay may be many, many months.
That would be our Vice President, Kamala Harris.
All right, I take it back. I don't want to...
Talking about Christmas toys. talking about Christmas toys.
When was that? Please tell me it was
like 2 days ago.
Yeah, okay, at least it wasn't yesterday.
I'm pretty sure that was when she... No, I think that was when she was in Hanoi, and that was right after she was asked about what was happening at the time. All right, we'll go back to Sam. Here's audio clip number four.
If a future government upholds the basic rights of the people, that's a government we can work with.
Is it Amy Koch? No, I don't know.
Anybody?
That sounds like our Secretary of State, Lincoln.
That is true. Yeah. Incorrect.
Jeff O'Brien running away with it.
Yep.
In the early going.
I'm all supercharged this week to do some evicting.
Do I have to beat up Jeff now? I don't want to beat anybody up.
Josh, we go to you for audio clip number five.
He has to weigh the equities of the danger versus the advantage, and I trust his judgment.
That is Pelosi talking about how Biden needs to weigh all of his options with getting Americans out of Afghanistan.
Like, this week of all weeks is not the week to be jumping out there and talking about how you trust Joe Biden's judgment.
All right, Jeff O'Brien, audio clip number six.
At my core, I'm a runner. But
that's
I wasn't
Herschel Walker.
Fast.
Look at you.
Here, former Viking Georgia, Herschel Walker.
It's just a little town.
Look at you. Don't even need to finish the audio.
And I got
he's running for Senate in Georgia.
So that's Herschel Walker. And mm-hmm. You're going to get a bonus point for recognizing that was a Senate ad. That was mm-hmm. good. I'm impressed. I thought that was gonna be one of the trickier ones.
No way.
All right. Vikings legend.
Yep. Ran out of his shoe against the Packers his first game.
All right, we're swooping back around to Sam, audio clip number seven.
He should be impeached. This is dereliction of duty by the commander-in-chief. This makes it harder to fight future wars.
Is that Lindsey Graham?
Hey, Lindsey Graham. Yes, it is.
Talking about Biden.
He should be impeached. Yes, he should.
All right, Josh, here you go. Audio clip number eight.
The question, as proposed, fails to meet the most basic elements of transparency in government that I believe voters expect from us every single day.
I got nothing.
Sam. That's Mayor Jacob Fry.
That's Minneapolis man, baby man.
I've never heard him sound so intelligent. I don't know what's going on.
What's he talking about?
He's talking about the thing on the ballot about defunding the police.
All right. The thing on the ballot.
I don't know anything.
The defunding the police measure on the ballot? Is that what you're... Okay, there you go. There you go.
It's the thing. You knew what I was talking about.
Nope.
All right, final audio clip. Jeff O'Brien, this one's for you.
I always consider myself a drummer, you know?
That would be the late, great Charlie Watts, Rolling Stones drummer that passed away this week at age 80.
Very correct. Look at you. Jeff O'Brien with the high degree of difficulty in the audio clips.
And not for lifelong Stones fans.
Jeff with 7 points in the first round. Sam with 4. Josh with 2. No, that's the score.
That's not right.
That's actually the score. But a lot of points to be had in the headline round. Again, we will read headlines. Those headlines will have blanks in them. If you fill in the blanks correctly, you will be awarded points. Buzz in with your name when you think you know the answer.
All right, here's headline number one. FBI finds scant evidence that blank.
Jeff.
Sam.
Jeff.
FBI scant evidence that there was any coordination of the January 6th, quote-unquote, insurrection.
Yep.
Headline number two, blank closed for at least a week due to wildfires and drought.
Sam, the BWCA.
Yeah, wear your mask, everybody. All right, headline number three, full FDA approval of blank.
Sam.
Josh.
Sam.
Pfizer vaccine.
And bonus point, if you know the commercial name of...
Comirnaty or something. Comirnaty. I can't. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Yeah, she can't and she didn't.
Comirnaty?
Oh, I don't know either. Judge Stefanik.
That was right. Comirnaty. Yeah, that was correct. Yeah, that was correct. Comirnaty. All right, headline number five. Cuomo reportedly leaves blank.
Jeff.
Josh. Jeff.
His dog, Captain.
And 2 points for knowing the name. What? Very good.
Headline number six. Is he running away with it because he keeps getting bonus points? Is that
that's what it is.
And he's stealing everybody's points.
He is. He's like nice. A bandit.
All right.
Gotta beat him up.
Headline number six. Blank ordered to stay in jail while facing sex.
Jeff. Anton Lazaro, the GOP donor.
Correct.
You're not going to give him bonus points for saying he was a GOP donor?
Everybody knew that.
Oh, okay.
Headline number 7, blank reverses ban on pornographic content.
Sam, OnlyFans.
How did you know?
What? Because it's a news story.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's I would have said that no matter who got it right. Yeah. So.
Because you mentioned your OnlyFans.
And here's a deep pull. Drew's getting revenge for Little Mermaid comments.
So. Ursula's mad.
I want to add something to this. If you missed it, go back and listen to the 7 o'clock hour of Monday show with Andrew Langer, because we talked about the situation with OnlyFans and Operation Choke Point. I only bring it up because the company of OnlyFans has come out and said that the reason why they did it was because of pressure they were getting from the banks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was the pressure they were getting from the loans they had received and the banks they were working with to limit the content to that. And so it falls right in line with what Andrew Langer was talking about on Monday's show.
All right. Headline number 8. America's tallest man.
Sam. He passed away. He lived in Rochester.
Okay. That's what we were looking for.
And he was from Ukraine?
Bonus point if you know his name.
I don't remember.
Anybody? Anybody remember his name?
No.
Rochester was what we were looking for, so well done. 1 point, Sam.
Igor.
Okay.
Igor
Vovkovinsky.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that, so. All right, headline number 9. Blank postpones First Avenue show due to COVID exposure.
Oh, who was that?
Oh, I remember the story, but don't remember the name.
I didn't know they were still around. Old school. Nobody? Ani DeFranco.
I never would have gotten that.
Headline number 10. Newly named blank host. Blank.
Sam.
Sam.
Well, it was a newly named Jeopardy host, but I have a feeling that Jeff's going to steal this one from me because I don't remember his name.
I don't remember his name.
Oh. Nobody remembers his name?
Josh, no, but I remember that he resigned his new position because of old homophobic texts or
technically
or
correct, but not yeah. What the judges are looking for.
I'm going to give him a bonus point for that.
Yay.
Sure.
That's what I was going for.
Allowed to. I was going to say, you can't give Jeff every bonus point that
they can.
Got like and one. Then not give one to Josh.
And Mike Richards. Mike Richards was his name.
All right. Headline number 11. Number of blank rose by 25% during lockdowns.
Sam. Smokers.
That's correct.
Come to my store.
And with that, heading into the final headline, we have a tie, folks. It's 11 points Sam, 11 points Jeff, with one headline left.
Stop.
1 point left to be had. The tension is high. Headline number 12, cancel culture takes aim at Notre Dame's blank mascot.
Jeff, the fighting Irish leprechaun.
The leprechaun, that is right. And with that, there is your winner, Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire. Well done.
Oh, you are the champion. You are the champion. The other two are losers, but you are the champion of the news.
12 points, Jeff O'Brien. Well, would that be like a walk-off homer to win that? And that would be a cool,
I think
like,
so. Like, yeah. I think so.
Did you bet like 5,000?
I just want to point out, the last time I was here, we had fake Sam, and I did much better. I think she jinxes the guys in here.
Right, well, she is the Josh Slayer.
Yeah, she is the Josh Slayer. I mean, I
think she's the pup. She's the.
Like,
she's,
if you're a Josh, you're in deep trouble.
I know, and I've done nothing to her, but she hates
doesn't
me
matter.
Because I'm Josh.
That's doesn't matter.
Not true. I'm
there's
sorry
a,
that
there's
I'm...
a there's a there's a vicinity. There's like a sphere of influence around Sam.
I don't have a good.
That when Josh's yeah. enter it, it's just their lives take.
She's
a turn
the
for
puppet
worse.
Master.
I don't have a good track.
I could blame you
Josh's.
For so much.
You can just blame me for all your problems. I apologize for threatening to beat both of you up. I just get very emotionally invested in the news quiz.
All right,
I didn't mean it.
It's accurate.
Not going to beat anybody up. I apologize.
Before we find out what Sam learned today, Kevin in Andover has been holding for a long time and through the news quiz. Want to make sure we can sneak your call in. Real quick, you got about a minute, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Good morning. So I'm running through the whole gamut of emotions as a lot of our veterans and our current warriors overseas, and we want to help. And I keep hearing that we should write or call congressmen, Senate, and that's malarkey. These guys don't give a rip. They don't even answer this stuff. They don't even reply. I, I, I've sent emails and sent receipts, and they haven't even been opened. Our backs are against the wall, and we need to know what to do. I just get tired of hearing call and write, and it just didn't do any good.
I wish I had something to offer you to make you feel better. I tend to agree with you. I mean, I'm not saying don't do it. If I encourage people, call and write your senators all you want. I mean, you never know. There's a chance. I personally am very cynical when it comes to that aspect. And again, it kind of depends on who your senators are and who your representatives are.
Yeah.
Here in Minnesota, if you, if you're lucky enough to live in like Tom Emmer's district, you'll get a response. You know, his office is very good about that stuff. Senator Klobuchar and Senator Smith, you ain't getting nothing out of them. You're not getting anything out of them.
Sam!
Yes.
What'd you learn today?
Around 6:40 this morning, I learned a bunch of things that Tim Walz did yesterday that I actually agree with.
Whoa.
Representative Tom Tiffany came on the show at 7 a.m. Senator Ron Johnson came up on the show at 8 a.m. I learned from both of them their thoughts on the tragic terrorist attack in Afghanistan yesterday, and I learned their thoughts on Biden's address to the nation that happened afterward. If you missed any of those conversations, want to catch up on the show, just find our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew.
You also learned that Jeff's better at eating the news quiz. Forgot about that.
I also learned that Sam is violent.
I'm not violent. I just say violent things.
Dr. Scott Jensen, gubernatorial candidates, all next week on Justice and Drew. Don't miss it.